Hello and welcome to Access Chat. Today we're doing an audio recording because of bandwidth issues. I believe it's storming out in Virginia, and as a consequence, video is a bit of a problem. But anyway, we're here today and we're delighted to welcome Alexandra Kutas, who is Ukraine's first model in a wheelchair and also advisor on disability and access issues to the mayor of her home city of Dnipro. So welcome, Alexandra. It's great to have you with us.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for your invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
So thank you for bearing with us with the technical issues. I'm really intrigued by the combination of job roles that you have. So can you tell us a little bit about how you managed to combine being both a model in a wheelchair and also your new role as advisor on disability issues and accessibility?
Thank you for the question. It's both of these topics are very important for me, and I believe that success is about combining them. I started, of course, you know, everything started with my love to photography, and because, you know, when I was 16, I fell in love with the process of photo shoot and decided that I really want to become the model, even though at that moment there was no fashion model in a wheelchair. But anyway, I believe that, you know, if you have a passion, and photography became a huge passion for me, that no disability should stop you. And then, you know, after I've tried to write letters with my photos to different agencies, and all of them told me no, because they said we never signed a contract with a model in wheelchair, so we don't really know how, you know, like, we think that market is not ready. That's the line I've heard a lot. I, you know, went to the university and decided to do a lot of other stuff in my life, and I would say the change point for me was I never believed that Ukraine is actually can be accessible country, because since I was a child, Ukraine was always inaccessible. But 2 years ago, when the war started between Russia and Ukraine, and my city is really close to the war zone, we like 200 kilometers away, and a lot of injured soldiers are coming first to our hospitals. And I went there to volunteer as a psychologist at the first months of the war, and then I met, you know, a lot of amazing people, soldiers, who became people with disabilities due to, you know, injuries. And I realized that I'm a girl and I'm used to, you know, asking for help to move around the city and so on. And for the man who was, you know, fighting for his own country, risking his life, right now it's just, you know, ridiculous that he can't moving around in a wheelchair just on the street of his city. And I realized that, you know, something should be done about it. And due to revolution, we started to have this mood, you know, in the country that we can make a change. So I applied for a project management school. And there I had a team, and we started to write a project about accessibility. That's where first time I realized that I really want to do something about it. And we represented the project. They said that our project was the best project in this school. But, you know, as usually in government, they say, like, we don't have money to do that. It was 2 years ago. So, and then my modeling career started to grow, and I just decided to focus on that for some time. But still, in back of my mind, I was keeping that I really want, especially when I became more a media person due to my modeling. I was talking all the time in all interviews and presentation I had about importance of accessibility in Ukraine. And we had elections of the mayor last year, and I read his program, and I felt like maybe this person would be more interested in making real changes on this topic. So I started to write to his team representing my project, and this year we finally managed to meet each other, and he asked me, would I like to be an advisor on these issues in my city.
That's fantastic. So I'm always curious about how people deal with the financial objections, because we all experience them. So what were the things that turned it around? Because everyone gets told, you know, the market's not ready, the don't think there's enough budget for this, that, the other. How did you deal with that? What was it that changed people's minds, or was it just your persistence?
About what, modeling or accessibility?
We could cover both, but with the accessibility issue in particular.
With accessibility, well, I think a lot of things. First, timing is right. You know, right now we are in that moment that actually new people in governments are willing to make a change. Then, due to the war and injured soldiers who became people with disabilities, people just already can't say that, you know, people with disabilities don't exist in our country as it was in USSR. Also, thanks to my media support, you know, because all newspapers, TV channels in Ukraine know me because of my modeling. So, you know, combining of all of these things, and also other people started to be more interested in these topics, because people realized that accessibility, it's not only about people with disabilities, also about moms with children. For them, it's much more convenient with the ramps around places. And right now, since I became an advisor, it's kind of funny because I'm really often I meet mothers with the children, and they asking me like, when finally we will be accessible city, because I don't know, like, we want it even more, I guess, than, you know, we really want it.
Yeah. So Deborah, I think you've got a question.
Yes. So Alexandra, thank you for being on the program. We were really excited about having you on today. I am curious about, you know, your life and, you know, growing up as a child in the Ukraine in a wheelchair. I mean, I'd like to know a little bit more about how you came, you know, how you start. Sorry. You know, more about your life before you became a model.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I'm very grateful and lucky about my parents, because, you know, when I was 6 years old, I was super shy kid. And I remember how I was afraid to raise my hand on the lesson in the school, you know. And but my parents, my mom actually decided, my grandparents were really, really afraid to let me go to regular school. It was not inclusive school, it was just a school with all kids. And there was no ramp, nothing. But my mom, it used to study there, so she knew a lot of teachers. And she said, you know, I really want you to go to just regular school. And I was studying pretty well. I had amazing, you know, classmates, really nice teachers. I remember a lot of good stuff about my school years. And I was living not so far away, just like, you know, 5 minutes walk. Of course, I couldn't, unfortunately, go to the school by myself. But, you know, always someone from my family was going just to take me there and bring me home. I never had any problems with my classmates. I still have friends from school. So I really, right now, one of my priorities, while I'm working with the mayor, we just talked with him about it today, and I'm going to write a program about making schools accessible and inclusive, because I believe that experience of a child just being, you know, around other kids and going every day to school changed my life and made me, you know, who I am right now. It was at least definitely a good start for that. So I want to do my best that for the budget of next year, the government will give the money to schools to make them accessible, at least a few of them, because right now we have none.
Alexandra, whenever, if you send me an email, I can send you a couple of reports that I've written on education, and also G3ICT did a really good report on how necessary it is to have inclusive education. So we're happy to share some resources that we've already published that might be helpful.
I would love to, because especially right now, I need to explain in the right way, you know, how many schools, which ones, you know, exactly. Why them? Because, for instance, right now I know for one school already, because I know that there are three kids in wheelchairs studying there. So for one, I know for sure, but I want to make more.
I agree.
As more as possible.
So this is
it's critical to educate people. Yeah, it's critical to educate people. No, go ahead, Neil.
My question was going to that direction. Do you have any contacts with local universities? Is there a space for universities and research centers to be able to collaborate with you, or at least to use the energy of university students, at least to do some work and to enable them to be part of this process?
Yeah, thank you for your advice. That's definitely what I'm gonna be doing. We have a lot of problems about universities in terms of having inclusive education for universities. I was studying in the university, but my faculty was on the fourth floor with no elevator. But still, I was going there every day, and my group mates were helping me to go downstairs and to go upstairs. So right now we're still friends, and when we talk, sometimes I'm joking that, you know, like, you owe me money because you didn't have to go to the gym. You were like hauling me to go downstairs and upstairs in the fourth floor every day. But, you know, we joke like that, but it's kind of a horrible situation with the universities in my city. And there is no, you know, wheelchair accessible. There is no accessible university. So right now I would really want to involve students for different projects, especially students who are working as architects.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that Antonio raises, and I think there's also opportunities for sharing across academic institutions. So we're on good terms with a number of really influential institutions across the globe. Deborah's been, you know, got very friendly with Georgia Tech that specialise in accessibility. I'm very friendly with the Helen Handelman Centre, which is part of the Royal College of Art. These guys specialise in inclusive design. There's going to be lots of materials that we can share, and I'm also sure that a lot of these organisations want to collaborate as much as possible internationally. So I think there's scope there, and I think that it's in some ways, being a long way behind is also quite an exciting place to be, because I've worked in environments where you're in a sort of market leading position, or you're in sort of about the same point as the rest of the world in your sort of levels of maturity. And there's a certain amount of staidness. People, you know, don't want to rock the boat. But when you're coming from so far back, when the situation is that nothing's accessible, there's an enormous amount of room for innovation. So I think that what you're doing is really exciting. Very keen to try and find ways to support you and shout about what you're doing. I also know that you featured in the British press. I saw that you'd been in the Daily Mail.
Yeah, that article actually changed my life.
So tell us a bit about that. How did it come about?
It's kind of funny story, because you know, and just one thing I wanted to add about education.
Yeah, sure.
Is that right now I'm, you know, we have, I know that there is Coursera website, I'm sure you heard about it, with free online courses, and there is prototype of Coursera Ukrainian online resource with the different online courses, and I really want, right now I'm in the touch with the man who actually created this website for Ukraine, and I asked him, would be possible to create online course about universal design, because, you know, if we have this, it would be really, really great to promote universal design among Ukraine. So if there are, you know, any experts in universal design who would be interested in giving like a guest lecture for our future online course, right now I'm working on with the person who's going to actually creating the course, but I would really love to involve different foreigner experts in this area, because I know there are a lot of amazing people who know a lot of stuff about universal design, so then, you know, we could promote it, because right now the problem here is also that, you know, architectures, universities who teach architectures are not so much aware about universal design principles, and I really want to raise that and change it.
Alexander, is language, English, a barrier when it comes to that? Or people would prefer to have these courses in your native language? Can you explain us about that? Because there's a lot, what you just told us about, there's a good number of those courses already available online and in English. So this will be kind of a double effort, unless, of course, if there's a language barrier.
Well, there is a language barrier. Unfortunately, a lot of people in Ukraine don't speak English. But actually, if you could please share with me where to find these courses, maybe we could try to find volunteers to translate it.
Okay, well, we can definitely share with you after this links to various courses and resources and everything else.
That would be lovely.
And of course, we've got about 60 hours worth of video and audio interviews just on Access Chat alone, with people talking about it, which of course is free to anyone. You know, take the material, you know, do with it as you will. You know, we're here to share knowledge.
That's
and
awesome.
Encourage people.
That's really, that would be amazing. And about your question for Daily Mail article, it's kind of funny story behind it, because I remember one time my friend, I don't remember who exactly, told me that you're a model, you're supposed to have an Instagram. And I was like, but I'm not so into this. You know, I have a Facebook, but I'm not into Instagram. But he said, like, if you are a model, you should have it. So I downloaded and I started to post some pictures with the hashtags. And also I left in descriptions, in description about myself that, you know, I'm a Ukraine first fashion model in a wheelchair, and my email. And later on, I got an email from the lady, and she was saying that she's a journalist from New York, and she found me through the Instagram, and she would love to have an interview. And because I speak English fluently, we just agreed to have an interview next day. And that's how, you know, there was an article about me in Daily Mail, because then later on, I found out that she was writing for Daily Mail.
No, that's interesting, and brings the value of social media for this type of stories, because more and more people today are trying to find stories around the world, and they would just use social media to find interesting people. So apparently that was the case, and that looks like a great example about how to use social media to find information. So well done.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a moment in my life when I was studying at university. You know, when you're in the country where actually you can't meet people in wheelchairs on the street, and you are willing to be a model, and there is actually even no model at that point, there was no model in the world in wheelchairs. That was kind of, you know, a moment when I had to admit to myself that that's actually what I wanted to do. And it was not easy a little bit, you know, to say even to people I know that, you know, I want to be a model. But when I overcame it, kind of opportunities started to come.
I know Deborah's.
So, Alexandra.
Yeah. Go on, Deborah.
Thank you. So, Alexandra, you know, if you could look into the future and see that your best wishes for the Ukraine and it being fully accessible for people in wheelchairs and other people with disabilities in the Ukraine, you know, what are your wishes for the future? What do you wish, you know, that the leaders would do? What do you wish your fellow citizens would do? And also what other people could do as well? What are your greatest wishes and dreams for the work that you're doing right now?
Well, I do want to that everyone has an opportunity. That's what I want the most, because, you know, I know for how many things I had to go through, my parents had to go through, and people, other people, successful people with disabilities, I know in Ukraine how difficult it is. And I really want, you know, I meet kids with disabilities and they're so amazing and they look so full of energy. And what I really want that, you know, if they have any dreams, that they believe that it's possible to make them true, and they will make them true. And my job as an advisor and as a, you know, fashion model is actually to prove it. And as advisor, to do my best to convince all the, you know, people in government that's the thing, that's it worth to do that. And it's important to do that, so people will have a chance to actually, you know, be who they want.
Yeah. I think I,
well said. Well said.
It's fantastic to, you know, the role you're playing as a role model. I think there are a couple of things that spring to mind. Last year, I think it was, there was a controversy about one of the Jenner girls being doing a photo shoot in a wheelchair, which was just sort of done thoughtlessly. Do you think that the backlash from that ill thought out photo shoot has actually had a positive effect on the work that you're doing, because it's brought attention to you being, you know, being a wheelchair, in a wheelchair, and being a model for real rather than playing at it?
Yes, I believe this was kind of very important to realize that, you know, my wheelchair is not something what's getting me, you know, down, because model, it's actually because why I'm also unique. And I'm still kind of looking forward to find a designers who will look at the wheelchair as an accessorize, which, you know, can make person even looking even better.
Yeah. Interesting. And you're running you've got a campaign going, which is, am I right in saying Breaking Your Chains?
Breaking Your Chains, it's the first ever in Ukraine photo exhibition with the first Ukraine's fashion model in the wheelchair. And what's very make me happy that we made this exhibition a year ago, and it has been traveling around the Ukraine. It has been also at Ukrainian Fashion Week. And people keep inviting us. You know, for instance, in the next month, we are going to a different city with this exhibition. And we're just talking, you know, showing the photos and talking about equality in general, equality of opportunities for different kinds of people. Because right now, besides, you know, people with disabilities, there are also a lot of people who came from the war zone, and they have a lot of difficulties as well. You know, they changed the place they were living. They, you know, don't feel comfortable. It's very difficult for them to find a job, to find a place to stay. So we're actually talking about, you know, being connected society, which is helpful for each other, which stands for each other. And trying to give, you know, equal opportunities, no matter of what kind of background you have.
I think that's tremendous, and I think the other thing is that you're going to have a lot of in a country that's been in conflict is a lot of hidden disabilities and post-traumatic stress. So I know that with your psychologist background, you'll be aware of the impact of hidden disabilities as well as physical disabilities. So what are the sort of plans that you have to address some of that, as well as the sort of physical access? Are there things that you can do, are there opportunities that you can seize relatively soon within Ukraine to help with some of these hidden disabilities as well?
Oh, well, I'm pretty much aware about mental health issues in my country, and you know, I don't want to try to do everything and do nothing at the same time. So I believe that if actually we will be able to make a big change for physical accessibility and for people who are physically disabled, it's going to be already a huge success. But about the mental health, I know a lot of psychologists and groups of psychologists who are working right now and who are helping, for instance, soldiers who came from the war zone. So people are working on this, but still, of course, our mental health, you know, issues need a lot of work on. And I do believe that with the time, you know, in government, it's going to be people who are going to be very interested in improving this side as well. But for right now, I feel responsible for accessibility, physical accessibility, and I really want to change something about that, and then we can see about, you know, future.
That's understandable, and we have an expression which is called, you know, trying to boil the ocean.
Yeah, exactly, because something actually started just like month and a half since I'm advisor only for a month.
Sure.
And it's actually just something starting here, and we have a long way ahead of us. But I do want everything make, you know, as fast as possible, as soon as possible, because I have also other projects, you know, and I can't be young forever, and, you know, I want to be a model while I'm young.
Absolutely.
While you are doing that, have you ended up in situations where the fact that you are a model and you are with a wheelchair, where other girls and other men end up coming to you, I would like to do this, I would like to be, I would also would like to do modeling, or I would like to help in terms of accessibility. Do you have any of those stories?
Actually, right now I know there is a girl in Kyiv. I met her personally, and she is right now also trying, you know, building her portfolio, and I'm really, really happy about that. So there are girls who also, after seeing my example, started to believe in themselves, which is amazing feeling. And about accessibility, well, just a week ago, I was holding a round table in the government building. We were, because I decided to, you know, find all people who are interested in accessibility and who, you know, NGOs, people who are working with NGOs, and just different activists who would love to make a change about it, and brought them together and see, because, you know, I'm a single person, what can do a single person, right? So I believe I see my role also as a person who can connect NGOs, activists, and government. Government have to kind of listen to me because of my media role, because I'm known in Ukraine, and activists having amazing ideas, some of them having great projects. And I'm so happy that just today I had a chance to, you know, introduce one to mayor, to one lady. She's running an NGO and she has a lot of wonderful ideas. I'd love her to, you know, make true, and I will help as much as I can. So I see that right now more and more people are interested in accessibility, people who are even not connected with people with disabilities. They just believe it's a very important topic.
I know that's a very good number of companies who have software who work with software developers from Ukraine. So, and they are also very well known for the quality of their code. And there's also a long tradition in engineering in Ukraine. So I think the fact that there already exists this type of foundations, I think it wouldn't be difficult for software developers to work with government to make sure that they have their websites accessible, and the same for other Ukrainian institutions.
I hope so, yeah.
And of course, you know, we want it to be really focused on the physical and the built barriers and stuff, as you talked about earlier, Alexandra. So I think that I do a lot of work with the United Nations. And one thing that the United Nations is trying to figure out is how can they help countries, especially countries that are developing or are in war-torn situations, how can they help them, you know, implement the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and really make sure that people with disabilities are being included in all aspects of society. In the built, you know, you can get in buildings, you can get in schools, you can have access to technology, communications, the internet. There's a lot of moving parts, but we're seeing the countries that start with advocacy and the grassroots systems. A lot of times we're seeing a lot of successes affiliated with that, but all of the stakeholders have to get involved. The government, the corporations, the employers, all the different moving parts. And as we've said on this interview, you know, the three of us have a lot of experience, and the Access Chat community has a lot of experience that we're, you know, would be happy to share with you. And I know I would be happy to be one of your speakers. I'm sure Neil would be as well. And I know Antonio is just brilliant when it comes to so many of these social media discussions and access and things like that. So I think you're doing the right thing, and it's exciting watching you really find your own and make a difference for your country and others. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. You know, I was just amazed when I started to ask for help from different experts on accessibility stuff. I was just amazed how people are, you know, getting back to me so fast, and they're willing to help. It's really, really important, because, you know, I don't have that much experience at all in this area. So I definitely need advice and, you know, of experts. So thank you so much.
But I think that's one of the nice things about the accessibility community, is that it's full of people that are also passionate. And so we are here to help, and we are all wanting to pull together to create that better world. So we're with you all the way. Thank you very much. We've reached the end of our half hour now. So it's been a delight talking to you, and I look forward to joining you on Twitter tomorrow night for Access Chat. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for that. Thank you.
Thank you.